The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Before we start the show, here at The Thing Is, we want you and all of our listeners to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray. It's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required, just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. I mean, that's freaking awesome. As you listen to the show, you all know, Maddie doesn't have a whole lot of sex. I don't have a whole lot of sex, both for very different reasons. But it's important to both of us that our guests and our listeners live a very different life than we live. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and so much more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.com. There's no promo code needed, and they offer free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So you're not losing out on anything. You can only gain by trying Promescent products, especially Promescent Delay Spray. Once more, go to promescent.com. That's P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T.com. And they've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. So give it a try and let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello, Shannon. You're looking, as the kids say, okie dokie.
I don't like it.
No?
That's like a, you're looking fine, I guess.
Oh, so perfect communication on my end then.
I hate you. But I will say, I have a little bit of an appreciation for you today, and I'll explain that in just a moment after I introduce.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You want to introduce first? I'm going to guess first.
Yeah, I'll introduce first.
Okay.
So joining us and actually rejoining the show, I don't know if you even may remember this, Mark, because this is 100 years ago, and we're going to do math in a minute and find out how long ago it was. But you were on the show once before. It is actor, comedian, podcaster, retired NYPD detective, Mark DeMeo. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Okay, so we're going to...
sexy background, by the way.
Thanks. We're going to do a little bit of math, and in that, I am going to explain what I meant, Maddie. So what is your guess first?
Oh, I was going to guess it's my rugged good looks.
That is incorrect.
No?
Yeah. Incorrect.
My brilliant sense of humor.
Okay, so you're not going to guess...
Oh,
so I'm just going to tell you.
Was I getting warmer or colder?
No, it's just out of the ballpark.
Ball bet. I gotcha.
Okay. So prior to the show, usually when we have a repeat guest, I like to listen to at least some of the episode of the last time they were on so that we're not like repeating stories. And I had no idea how long ago it was that you were on, Mark. So today, this episode is number 254. You were on episode number 35.
Wow.
And you were 48 at the time. How old are you now?
54. 6 years.
You can do that math quick in your head.
I did in my hands. I can't do math. Okay, so six years ago it was that you were on the show. And it's what's funny is that the part that I listened to works out so perfectly for today. The compliment first, Maddie. So the compliment was, at the time when Mark was on the show, my co-host was Freddie Heinemann, who I don't know if he does comedy anymore, but he did at the time, and he was a younger comedian, and his personality and my personality didn't work, but not in a fun way, like our personalities don't work.
Oh, you are having fun. Oh, good. I'll take that as a compliment.
It was just a very different show. But what we were talking about at the beginning of the show was, we were talking about dating at the time you were married, Mark, but we were talking about the dating world and about marrying for money, basically. Okay. And at the time I was bartending, this show wasn't on the Gas Digital Network. And you said to me, and I quote, because I said, I couldn't imagine dating somebody just for money. And you said, hit 40, still be bartending, and then we'll talk. So here we are. Wow. I'm going to be 40 in just months. So we're here. But isn't that a weird, how weird is that? That we, that it just so happened to you that now you're back on the show and it's almost that time.
It's weird. It's also weird that I would actually say something like provocative. you know, I mentioned that because there's this documentary out right now. It's called Too Soon, Comedy After 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I sat for them. You know, it's there's so many great comedians on the whole thing. So it was like an honor to be part of this whole thing. But the reason why they had me was not only am I a comic, but I was a cop during 9/11. I went down there. So the quote that they posted was like something like so profound. I'm like, you know, cause it's my face on the little Instagram thing. And then it's these words and I'm like, I didn't say that. And then I watched the video and I'm like, I did say that. And I'm like,
So here we are again.
Yeah. Here we are again. Like you said, so, I'm like, really? I said that?
That's you did. And then you followed it with when there's not much tread left on your tires at 40.
But here's the ironic part. There's tons of tread on those tires.
That is true. In some ways.
You're not taking those things out in the
weather. You know what? It's all relative too. Like when we're talking about you in a way, Shannon, you know, your 40s is a lot different than a lot of other people's 40s.
It's only because I have great lighting.
Listen, you're smoking. You're a beautiful girl. So, and God bless you. So you're like privileged in that way. There's a lot of 40-year-olds right now that it's not gonna work out.
People could look at you and go, oof. You know, that doesn't happen. That's good. That's a compliment.
I mean, overall, though, the conversation was a lot about also how like men get hotter as they get older and women just deteriorate. Women just fall apart after like 27, I think. And it's just the unfairness of the world and how then men need like money or fame or something. And young chicks just get the attention and whatever. That was basically what the dating part was of the episode. But yeah, I just thought that was a funny thing to mention because it really just worked out perfectly here. But
you guys going to go out or?
so you were married last time you were on. You are no longer married. Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I got engaged.
Did you? Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then you did do some dating in between the last time and the engagement. So
it was a short-lived period.
And how did you do your dating? Was it on dating apps?
I did do Tinder. The other ones weren't really around yet. Mm-hmm. Like maybe Bumble was coming out then, but the other one, Hinge. And I did okay. I was like, I think I was 4 for 6. And one of them, like, you know, that's not
the
a
numbers.
That's no, that's not a bad. That's 6.35 batting average. And absolutely, one of them, I left stranded on second. Like, I don't even want to.
Wait, this is actual dates, not swiping.
No, no. Like the people, whoever I wound up actually going on a date mm-hmm. with, those 6 lucky girls, 4 of them got it.
The other 2 were able to escape.
One of them I didn't even want. I left her stranded on second.
I mean, is that gonna be the story that you tell? Because I'd really like to hear that.
I don't remember. No, I do actually. You know what it was? It was a weekend, so it was like it was one of those things where you ask them like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Whatever. And like, oh, I'm going away to and you know, a weekend away is like with another dude. So I'm like, I don't want to be part of this mix. So I backed out. I was like,
it's not necessarily true. It could be, but that's not necessarily true. I just did a weekend away, but with the girls, because that's what we do at 40. Well,
no, but that if you say that, that's one thing.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? But if that doesn't come up in the conversation,
fair.
You know what I'm saying? Then we know what it is.
Yeah.
I know what time it is. And listen, in the future, maybe I forget, You know what I'm saying?
So was the girl that you ended up being engaged to, how did you meet her? Was that also from a dating app?
No, that was actually at the Foxwoods. I was doing a show. And when I came out on stage, there was a whole group of girls hooting and hollering, right? It was probably like some type of bachelorette thing, and they were like sitting like center stage a couple of rows back. And I took them, you know, you take that into your mind when you're on stage, like, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. So I had a plan, like, I'm going to do my 45 minutes and I'm going to run to the back, check on my hair. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to get out there before they leave. So I did the same exact thing. I went through the back, checked my hair, looked at myself, and then I went and I saw them by the bar. And I actually waved to them and I'm coming mm-hmm. over and they're like, come here. I could see the whole thing like
slow motion.
And then, yeah, like right before, like as I was heading over there, two other girls stopped in front of me.
Killing it.
And they're like, oh, we thought you were really funny. And I'm like, oh, thanks a lot. And
I love, by the way, how you do the looking up and looking down. So tall.
I am. I'm 6'4". I take a look at them and they were both pretty. One was really, really pretty. And then I look back at the group of girls that were by the bar, and I know exactly what's going to happen at the bar. All the hot ones are taken and they kind of sort of separate, you know, and there's going to be one in the back, like,
kill a monster.
That's the one that was for me. So I also know that I have to entertain six people.
Right.
When this is done. And that's a lot. It's more work to do than just entertaining these two. And I took and they're like, you want a drink? And I'm like, yeah, right. So then I went with these two. One of them turned out to be Connie, who's the girl I've been with ever since. And then I did make my way over there and but I ended up back over. That was a smart move, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, of course it worked out. I mean, it's like fate though. If they stopped you from going to that other group, they just intercept your path. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, now that we started with a beautiful story, so we have to ask, because I don't think that you told this the last time you were on the show, which was also 1,000 years ago, but what is your worst date experience? What's the worst date that you've ever been on?
Man, you know, like, because you mentioned I was married for almost 30 years, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I didn't really have that much other than, and they're not usually bad dates. I kind of sort of get along with everybody. I'm a chameleon that way. But I remember one girl showed up wearing flats. Like, just like I forget whether it was shoes or like it was
ballet,
whatever.
Ballet flats?
No, it was whatever she wears on the train to get to work.
Oh, sneakers?
Yeah, like, you know, like she's got the whole outfit on. Then she get, and like, I don't know. It's a different time. Like, I'm a different from a different era, man. Like, I'm looking at it. That's the way you show up to see me.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
you know what
okay.
I'm saying? Like, what do you? This is not like she showed up like we were dating for 3 years and we were looking for like wedding flowers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was might have been her second date of the night. Like, I don't even understand what the fuck is happening right now. I'm sorry, I cursed. I don't understand what's happening right now with people going on like three dates in one night, like.
No, but I okay. So about the flats thing. So first, if it was that she was in work clothes and was in like a mismatched level of casual shoes, that is not acceptable. Because if she's taking a train, even if it's between dates, then you could wear your flats on the train. And then right before you walk into the bar is when you swap out the shoes. But
I think it's a lovely day in the neighborhood while you do it.
I've done that a million times. Not
really?
On dates though. I don't go on a million dates, but like hanging out with the girls or something after work, like happy hour, I would wear like my flip-flops or sneakers or whatever. And then right before walking into the bar, switch into my heels. But the last date that I did go on, I did wear flats, but they were cute flats.
Yeah, that's a difference. I mean, if it was something cute, God bless you. You know,
yeah, I feel like it went with the outfit. They had little studs on them. They were very cute. But yeah, that's not. That's
and
not
I'm
okay.
not I'm not expecting stilettos. It just looked like
she didn't put the effort in.
Yeah, like way too casual for like the first time we're gonna meet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but there is that thing where, especially, you know, amongst female comics, they'll talk about all these dates they went on and stuff like that. And I'm like, are you really trying? Or are you coming up with material right now? So I'm like wondering, how hard are you trying? Like, if you're doing three dates a night, like.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's trying pretty hard if you're doing three dates a night.
Yeah, but how do you not like.
Wait, that happens? People go on multiple dates in one night? That wasn't an exaggeration?
No, I've
heard. Have you done that, Shannon?
I've heard plenty of times. Plenty of times.
I one time went on two dates in one day, but there is a reason for it. Because it's like, that's me. Yes. I think I've told the story before, so I'll speed through it, but I was on the Tyra Banks show 1,000 years ago, and there were like three bachelors on the show, and there ended up being a tie. So I had to go on dates with two of the winners, and I didn't give a shit. I wasn't interested in either one of them. I was like, I don't care, but I had to go on the dates, and they gave like these, because this was before the days of video in our phones. So they gave me like this video recording device thing with like an SD card in it. And so we had to record ourselves on each date. So I just booked them back to back. I was like 1 hour here, 1 hour there, and then I'm over it. That was the only time I did two dates in one day.
All right.
And I hated them both.
If you're going to put a time constraint on it, yeah, sure. If you don't want in at all. Yeah.
I always want to put a time constraint on a first date.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I mean, just I missed doing this than the last first date that I went on. It was a mistake that I made, and I'm paying for that mistake. But I feel like if you're like, look, let's give ourselves an hour, let's go get drinks, let's give ourselves 1 hour, and then that's it. So if we hate each other, we're not stuck. If we like each other, we'll want to see each other again. But so there's no obligation. I feel like to say that at the beginning in like a lighthearted way is okay to do.
So you are vocalizing this in the words you just used.
I didn't do that this time.
So like, let's give us an hour.
You know, it's so weird. Like, it's just
such an interview.
No, but it's such a different attitude. Like for me, if I'm going to go out on a date, like for example, let's say Shannon, for example, I see Shannon's picture on the thing. I'm like, all right, I'm fucking this girl tonight. Like, I'm already like.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Like, that's the way I'm showing up. Like, and it's not even like I'm going to be, I don't touch anybody. Like, before, like, I'm not like a handsy guy or grabbing guy. Right. It's going to work out though.
It's a marathon.
It's going to be mutual. Yeah. We're going to look at each other. We're going to look into each other's eyes. We're going to want each other. And it's pretty much going to happen. That's the way I go in.
I get it. And I appreciate your confidence going in. But see, here's the problem with me in particular is that especially with like my appearance, I think that most guys will go into a date with me assuming that. However, the truth is, I am the biggest prude in the whole wide world. Uh-huh. And I haven't had sex in 3 years and 7 months. It's almost 8 months. And so it's like it's never going to happen on a first date. So also, why do I want to take up so much of a guy's time if I know we're not going to have sex? So it's like, let's just figure out if we know each other and then we'll decide where to go after this whole
thing. Well, I got to mention this too. And this, as far as sex on the first date, that was like a juvenile thing, because most of the time later on, you know, as I'm getting a little bit older, I want to know what kind of crazy I'm dealing with. If I tell you how many girls I dropped off in front of the house. All right. And like, oh, you know, that's it. You don't want to hang out? No. I can't come up. I'll see you tomorrow. I got to go. You know what I'm saying? I had time restraints like you. I had to get home. But also, too, I don't know what I'm dealing with yet. Mm-hmm. So it's like a two-way street. Like, let me get to know this person first, because you're all crazy. I just want to know what I'm dealing with.
Which type
of crazy I'm dealing with. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And I also want to understand, because there is also a lot of crazy in the male species. I also would want to know. And
an hour seems like such a short amount of time, though.
I mean,
you don't get to talking within an hour.
Two hours. I mean, so Mark, I went on one date, and that's why this is all we're ever going to talk about, because I finally did go on one date and I haven't in so long. And it was from Hinge. And it was just like, the guy was like, so so close to my like fit, like he was so my physical type. And I was like,
I know your type already. You like bodybuilders, buffed out, shaved up.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
And so he was like, and he's like 6'4", he's a fireman, he's like moderately tattooed. It's like all he's checking all these things. And so like 2 hours in, I'm like, all right, it's getting kind of late. I have to wake up early in the morning. Like after this drink, I'm gonna go. And then he was like, oh, come on, stay for one more. And so like
killed
that's
it.
Yes, like that's you should like leave them wanting more,
not
being like you should stay when I clearly want to leave. And then also, and I know you're going to respond the same way, Mark, because when I told Mike Vecchione this story, his eyes reacted as if I said he slapped me. Like that was his response, was that at the end of the date, he was running we went to a shithole bar on the Lower East Side and just had a few drinks. He was running a tab on his card. When the bartender comes up to, you know, to settle us out, I didn't have cash on me. And, you know, I'm a lady, so I have to, of course, offer. And so I was like, I don't have cash on me, but I have my card if you want to like put the tip on it or something. And he took my card.
That's an odd thing.
And then, she didn't take, she's like, I can't split it that way or whatever. Or maybe she was just on my side and was like, fuck this. And then it started pouring outside and he's like, oh, I guess we have to stay for one more drink. Now you can use your card.
I don't get that.
I feel like all the guys have made the same wide-eyed fucking what?
Yes.
An adult?
I don't understand.
You went out with a 14-year-old, right? Yeah,
it's I guess it's a different age, a different time right now. It's not like
But he's as old as Shannon, if not even somehow older.
No, he's 1 year younger, which is maybe the problem. Maybe it's just like one year closer to like real millennial that I made the mistake.
There is a weird fucking fence that our age group walks along. I've noticed.
It's true.
And then, you know, there's so many other intangibles we're not talking about. Like, let's say, for example, you go out with somebody and you're really hitting it off. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you know what? Let's not spoil this. You know, I'll see you again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, but also you mentioned dating, you know, and like, to me, that's an odd word because especially if you're like a comedian and you travel around a bit. A lot of it's not dating. A lot of it, like we were downstairs a minute ago. Remember me? I'm the guy that made you laugh. And then we go upstairs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that that's not a date.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So
you're right. Yeah. I feel like a lot of male comedians do come on the show and say that. They either say, I don't have any bad dates, or I don't really date, because it's kind of like you meet a girl at the bar and then take her home and then the end.
Yeah.
So,
and then if you really like them, you know, it's not like, I think the main goal is to find somebody that you really like.
Right.
You know, the misunderstanding is like, oh, you're all the same. Men are different, obviously, than women, but we just want to find one that we like. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, and we go through it quick, I guess, you know what I'm saying? We want to find out right away, where women want, you know, they want to take their time finding out, do I really like this guy?
Yeah. You know, I found one I can kind of stand and I'm like, all right, I'll fucking sold.
20 years later, I guess I'll marry her.
I'll take what I can get, you know.
Well, how long you been together?
Over 17 years, like well over 17 years. That was a fucking, you know, you've been like with your chick for too long, not married, when a man stops mid sip. Like, wait, I'm not gonna take this sip. What did you just say? Yeah.
We are finally getting married, though.
We are.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Listen, everybody does their own thing. Mm-hmm. If you know. If it took her that long to figure out, like, all right.
I don't like where these assumptions are going.
If this
clearly
is
I'm the
good,
catch.
If this is as good as it's going to get, I guess, fuck it. I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah. I'm the dumb one. It's like, it's been 17 years of her searching.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Nothing. Yeah.
You're like an insurance policy.
Yep. Absolutely. In case I get too old to attract a real man, break glass.
Really quick, guys. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about YoKratom.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy for you to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never really have quite what you need. And then after all the hassle, we'll give you storefront markup prices. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy, right now, go to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at the car parts. So once more, rockauto.com, and there's no promo code needed as their pricing is already that good. When you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on The Thing Is podcast. Rockauto.com, let's get back into it.
The funny thing is, when you get older, I'm 54 years old. My girl's, she's 17 years younger than me.
Glad you said younger than me. She's 17.
Yeah. Well, so the thing is, like I always say in my act anyway, it's not like I wasn't looking for a younger girl. It just so happened the college I hang out at, da-dum-dum-sh. But when we met, you know, that's as low as I'll go. Like the other night I was at the club. This is so funny about getting older, like how your libido drops. Like I was at the club, I'm with this other comic, and me and him used to
slay the ladies.
No, just go back and forth with really, really inappropriate things. So whoever the bartender was, she was leaning up against the bar and she had her leg up against this thing. Mm-hmm. And he's doing what guys do. He's giving me this nudge to like look over. And this girl, like, I've already told her about my son. You know, she's my son's age. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my thing now. It's like, oh, how old are you? Oh, I have a son. Like a freaking.
I got a kid your age.
Whenever I see a beautiful girl, I'm thinking about my son. So I couldn't get into it anymore. And I just out of curiosity, after like, I asked him, I said, how old are you now? And he was 44. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? 44, I still was, I still had the motor running. It wasn't up until like 51 and a half, I think, where everything 52, but you settle in and like, I'm fine with it right now. I'll go anywhere right now. I can hang. I'm not looking at chicks. I'm not looking to hook up. It's just a beautiful place to be right now.
So does it take until 51 and a half that a man is finally relaxed and ready to actually settle down for the long run?
No. Well, yeah, I guess because for me anyway, but I had quite the, start. I have a feeling like I got burnt out early, you know, right. Like I got bad knees. My back is blowing out. You know, I'm not the same anymore. I can't keep up. It's up to the young guys right now, Maddie. You guys got.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. But in this.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your approach, Mark, where you see a girl that's too young and want to introduce her to your son, that's the place that I think Ralph should be at. Ralph Sutton, where he's like, oh, how old are you? And she's like 20. And he should be saying, that's the perfect age for my son. And really, he's like, let's go on a trip together.
Well, don't forget, I have a daughter, too. And she's 22.
That helps.
You know what I'm saying? So
helps who? It couldn't possibly help him. Have a 20-year-old daughter.
Helps you to like be respectful of women.
Yeah. Because you think about your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. She ruined everything for you, is what I'm trying to say.
Or made him a nice man for a lovely lady.
Yeah, you don't want that. You gotta be a fuck your whole life.
You know, I'm so fascinated by these guys that continue, like their motor keeps running at such a late age, like the Weinstein guy. And then I watched this documentary on Netflix about the guy Khan, the guy, the French guy, he was in charge of all the money. He raped a girl in the maid at a hotel in the city, then got on a plane right away. It's I forget the guy's name. Strauss Kahn is his last name. DSK, Dominique Strauss Kahn. It's a great Netflix documentary because at the end of it, you don't know who actually did what. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these guys' sexual appetite at like such an late age, you there's only one excuse for it. You had to be a late starter. And you look at them and you say, yeah, I get it.
Or it could be maybe just like the fear, like the fighting of being locked down. you know, just like fighting where it's like, I'm going to try to keep this going as long as I can before I let someone like stop me from having all this fun.
Yeah, but just for me, if I had all the money that those guys had, the last thing I would do would be like, just get a bunch of girls. Like, this guy was coordinating parties every night. He'd go do global business. And then the reason why he got in trouble was because he had to hire somebody to throw these parties, and these, to have girls come to the parties, you're probably going to have to pay some of them. And so that's where he really, after the rape, if you watch the documentary, that's, but that sexual appetite, it's such a late age. It's like, no, I want to go to sleep. It's 9:30. Leave me alone.
That is weird.
I guess I don't want to be in a place at 60 where I want to rape women. You know, that's
good. That's a good goal.
Right. Growth. 59. That's when I'll stop. You know,
I was going out to clubs when I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my whole life was just sped up. So I would imagine like, yeah, OK, but it's great. It's a beautiful place to be. I like watching people do it.
I feel like maybe I need to raise the age limits on my dating profile and like and go a little bit older. I feel like it's maybe 48 or 49. No, maybe I'll go to like 52.
I wouldn't get nuts. No offense.
No, because I am. Yeah. See, what I'm thinking about is, of course, because this is the two things that I ever talk about on the show, is my ex-boyfriend is 44. And even though I don't think he's out there trying to have sex with every single girl that he comes across, but he loves the party boy lifestyle. Like, he's out probably four nights a week at the bar. And at 44,
yeah,
is it not time yet to hang that up?
For him, apparently.
See, that's the thing. The motor's still running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you could raise your thing up to, and I know it sounds sad, but I there's a lot of guys who are 60 who are in phenomenal shape.
See, but it gets a little weird where it's like, we're talking about like women that are 40, where mm-hmm. it starts to really split off a lot at that age, where mm-hmm. men around like 50, if I look on dating apps, like in the late 40s, early 50s, It goes in two very different directions. Like, a man can look like he's like 70 at 50, or could mm-hmm. look, you know, or it could still look like young and hot. And it's just it goes in two really crazy directions at that age. Yeah,
a lot of it has to do with like abusing your body, drinking and drugs and yes. all that shit.
Going to bars four nights a week. Yeah.
I mean, I look good, you know.
But you might end up with somebody who, like, is coming out of a marriage and has a career where, you know, they actually have some money
right
left over after giving it all away. They can still go away a couple of times a year. They have a place somewhere. And the reality is, one thing I figured out is, obviously you want a companion, but there's a couple things that you need. You need somebody to talk about somebody else with.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're at a party and somebody walks in and you go, look mm-hmm. at this, you know, like whatever, this just, and they know moron. Already, like, look at this guy. Look, look, look. And they look over and they know exactly you need that person to connect with. And then it's the person that you go away with, traveling with. Mm-hmm. And you have to mesh with that person. You mm-hmm. can't be like a beach person and they want to go sightseeing. You can't be like somebody who's a hiker and the other guy, you know, the other person is into something completely. You have to mesh with somebody. You don't want to be with the person that somewhere. Forgets their passport or is late or needs to set six alarms to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You're describing her. Have you met?
You have to mesh.
And she loves the beach and I hate it. Uh-huh. This ain't going to work.
Call off the wedding.
This ain't never going to last. My fucking, the thing I'm looking forward to the most, by the way, is referring to her. When I meet people, I'll be like, oh, this is my first wife, Erin. Uh-huh.
I can't wait till she leaves you one day March, for somebody March better looking.
Fucking 12th, that'll start. And impossible, by the way. Taller as you can find easy.
I'm sorry.
They don't come better looking.
That's true.
How old are you? To be with somebody 17 years, you look young.
I'm 35.
Wow. So yeah, I
can't do math and I know the answer and I can't get there. How old were you guys when you first started dating?
Well, you got to do like the newfangled math, right? So you make it easy for yourself. So you take me down to 34, you know, 17's half of 34, and you
or
add
you can
a year.
Just, you could just say the answer because you know it.
I don't know it either. Oh, God. 2004.
Chris in the chat said 18.
February will be 18.
Our listeners can do math. So 18.
But in you February, were, you guys live together, right?
We do now, yeah. Last 5 years, yeah.
So, I mean, the reality
made it through
is...
a pandemic. It's over. We're locked in. You know, we can't go through another one of these things with a different person.
The living together is an interesting thing because, you know, you kind of sort of married anyway.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, you're doing all the married stuff, except do you have a kid yet?
No. No, my pullout game is on point.
Yeah, have a kid, man. Yeah. It's great.
I want to, I think. But it also terrifies me because I'll be like dead when it's still alive.
Oh, my God. It freaks me out.
Yeah, how do you think I feel? I want to have another kid, and I'm 54.
My father went through that for a little bit, and then I think he was like, it's not a good idea. 54? Well, how old is she again? You said...
37.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's
okay.
Not
worth the risk.
It's okay. No, because, okay, so when the kid's 20, right? Because that's like important, then you'll be 74, which is still... That's fine. Yeah. I feel like after 80 is when like bad things start to happen. So as long as you're before 80, the kid's 20, grown up, out of college, or I don't know what time college ends, 23 maybe. So 23, you're still before 80, you're good to go.
Here's the problem though. Men's brains are not fully developed until at least fucking 28. So you got to make it until that kid's a man. Otherwise, probably going to fuck it up. No?
No, I think if the foundation is there early... through the teenage years, I think you're good.
It's all terrifying. It really does. Like, I go back and forth with it all the time. I don't know how you do it. You have two kids, you said?
Yeah, I was so selfish. Like, in the 20s. I was
so
an
you were
only
like, what,
child.
30 or so? You were not like young.
Yeah,
young
no, I turned 30 when my son was born. But I was so selfish growing up. I was the only child. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was about me. Mm-hmm. And then when I had my son, it was like it all changed within like 1 second. Like,
yeah,
you could tell me anything. Like, wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He needs milk. I'm going out. Like, it just. And then it shows you like a different part of life, which is, you know, you want to live the whole spectrum of it.
Right.
You want
to. Yeah,
try
that's the
to
part
do,
that I would look forward to is that like selflessness. And I feel like that well-adjusted thought process is why I'm going to die before I get the chance to do it.
My God. All right, you know what? Hold on. We're stopping.
I'm skipping segments.
Yes, we are. You are skipping segments. And we're going to stop here and we're going to move on to the next segment because we've blown through half of the show already and I'm doing poor time management. So we're going to switch to the next segment, which is bad things.
Bad things with you.
This is a part of the show we talk about fight stories, physical altercations. If you've been in multiple fights, which you obviously had to have, then the most memorable one. So what's the most memorable fight that you've been in, a physical fight?
All right. So this is my like my crown jewel. I love this story.
I'm so excited.
I just it defined me as I'm in front of silver screen, which was a nightclub in Astoria. It was kind of sort of like double parked on the other side of the club. I had a friend of mine, a female. She was leaning inside the car.
How old are you?
Probably 18.
Okay.
Maybe 19. I had a Cadillac, a Coupe de Ville with a phone in it.
Wow.
I was fucking badass, man. So I'm like, how is it inside? We're doing all this little, you know, chatting. She's a friend of mine. And all of a sudden I hear you know, the motors that they put in those freaking, those, wah, 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 you know, those little cars that never go any faster than you go, but they're making so much noise. I look up in my rearview mirror and I see some guy driving in and out of traffic like this. So I just take a mental note. I'm like, what a fucking asshole. So anyway, I go back to talking to her. And next thing you know, boom, I feel like my car got hit. And I'm like, holy shit. And the guy keeps going. He keeps taking off. So I look at the girl I'm talking to. I'm like, that guy just hit my car. I got to go catch up to him. You know what I'm saying? I'll talk to you in a minute. So now I start driving after this guy. Like, I have no idea, you know, what
who
I'm
the driver
do.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Who the driver is, what I'm going to do. But I'm going, he's going faster. I'm going faster. I had this, this little thing, like a thing I lived by. Like, if you hit my car, I'm going to fuck you up. So this guy was going to get fucked up. Like, that was my whole, I had, you know, don't fuck with my car. If you hit my, so now the guy stops about three, we're on Steinway Street. He stops probably like, fucking like 28th Avenue, stops over there. And he pulls over, he gets out of his car. He's like this really skinny Puerto Rican guy with a whole bunch of beads around his neck. Some guy, like, he just reminded me, like, from the Bronx, that's used to, like, talking to people and you know, scaring them with his voice or whatever. I don't know what the fuck. But I already had it. Like, I just started putting pieces together in my head, in my head real quick. So, so he's like, what do you follow me? I said, you hit my car. He goes, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. So we're, like, getting close. And he goes, where? So I said, come over here. I told him, come over here. And I pointed right there, like, to where he hit my car. And I had it all lined up. Then I went, as soon as he looked, bam, I fucking nailed him. And then I just took him apart. Bam, bam, bam. He was on the hood of my car. And I just, until he fell down, then I started stomping him. I had this rage in me. It was crazy. That's the way I was when I was a kid.
You just all feel this, the joy in your retelling of the story,
so
though.
I was fucking this guy. The guy never hit me once. So now I get this, the car's driving the other way. There's this kid in the car. I used to call him Shorty 140 from 105th. It didn't even make any sense. He lived in the store. We didn't have 105th, but it was just, I went to military school with this kid. He jumps out of the car and he comes up to me and he's like grabbing me and pulling off and let him go, you're going to kill him. So I tell the guy to get up and I said, go get your papers. So he's walking back to get his papers, and then something in me said, and I just ran up and I hit him one more time. And that time my knuckle popped. Pow. I broke my hand, whatever. But then I'm thinking to myself, you know, what am I sticking around here for? What am I going to get charged with assault? So I just got in my car and get the fuck out of there. But to show you what a dick he was, even though I fucking beat him up, he didn't give up. God bless this guy. Because then as I was driving past him to get away, he threw a bottle. Like, and it hit like the top of my car. Like, that just goes to show you what it, they never give up. You know, I hit the right guy. Fuck
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, he deserved it.
Fuck that guy, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're out there right now and you remember the story, you know who you are. I felt so good. I felt so good about that, man.
I mean, it's warranted.
Yeah.
Wish I could do that.
What?
I'm like, gonna chase this guy and then find a man to beat him up.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick moment to talk about one of our fantastic sponsors. Fans of the show over the age of 21, I want to tell you about Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo. How much? $60 for a full kilo. That's right. If you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from our probably longest running sponsor, Yo Kratom, for just $60 a kilo. If you are a fan of Kratom, then you know what an incredible value this is. And it's time to stop overpaying and having to go to random stores, wherever you can find them, to get the Kratom that you're looking for. As you probably know, everyone has their preference of a particular strain, or some people like powders, some people like capsules. Yo Kratom has everything. If you click over to their website right now, yokratom.com, you can scroll around and find the right strain for you, or find the powder that you're looking for, or the capsules. Either way, Yo Kratom has everything that you're looking for. We want to thank Yo Kratom for sponsoring this show. And if you are into Kratom, Yo Kratom is the one place where you can find $60 kilos. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoKratom.com so that you can buy directly at incredible prices. Last time, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. When would you say was the last physical altercation that you were in as an adult, like the most recent one?
Well, an actual, I had a close call. Harris Stanton will tell you. That was a close call, though. The last one that I had, I was going into a store. And I was still a cop, by the way, too, because I see, the thing with me is I have a very like it's a very thin line. I never, ever, ever get angry. You know, I'm always fun, a lot of fun. But if something happens, like if something doesn't agree with me. So I'm walking at the time they were stealing cell phones. And where I lived, I was going inside this deli and some fucking dude outside was like, yo, you know what time it is? Like, and I had this feeling in my head because I knew from being a cop that that's a thing. And I had my cell phone in my hand and I looked at it and I go, no. So he goes, yo, what's your problem? I said, you want to know what's my problem? Stay here and you'll find out. So I went inside, I got my cigarettes and the fucking idiot was still there when I got out. So as soon as I got out, I just put my hand against his throat. And then people are going to think I'm the most violent person in the world. But then what happened was I rammed them right into my car because it was like this thing you drive off and know them.
Then you were like, you hit my car. Now I'm going to fuck you up.
No, I knocked the mirror. I knocked the side mirror off the car. And he just fell like a freaking like a fucking sack of shit. And all of his stupid little friends came around because they like all like Guatemala and Ecuador and they all drink on the corner there. And then it all came around. So I got in my car, I whipped it around like, and then I just took off. Like, I'm not proud of this, by the way. It just so happens that I just have this really, it's like a really short trigger for violence.
Yeah.
I
mean, I feel like asking for it. I feel like both were justified.
You know, I'll tell you another one. One, I had a Monte Carlo Super Sport, not for a long time, but man, that car was fucking badass. And I walked to my, I had a co-op apartment in Flushing and I we had an outdoor garage, so I'm walking to my car and I see this guy and he's fucking pissing on my car, like he's in between cars but he's pissing. So once again he got blindsided, but what happened was he was unconscious and then so I dragged him all the way out to get him outside. And mind you, it's about 200 feet that I'm dragging him in like gravel to just throw him out of the garage, the outdoor garage. But then I realized I forgot the clipper. So now I had to go back to my car and get the freaking thing to open the thing to throw him. By that time, he was coming too. I left him there. By that time, he's coming too. So I was like, you want another one? No. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. He told me it's okay. So I just get the fuck out of here.
So the moral of this story is if you see Mark DeMeo out in the wild, don't touch his car. Okay, guys, really quickly, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve stronger and harder erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so there are no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. It's as convenient as it can get. This process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com to consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. And Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepare and ship direct. So it's also cheaper than a pharmacy. All wins here, guys. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And of course, we have a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, at checkout. All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Shannon, to receive your first month free. And we thank, and you'll also thank, Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, let's get back to it. All right, we're really rounding up on the hour here. So we have to go to our final segment, which is scary things. This is the part of the show we talk about scary things, weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. This could be anything that freaked you out in the moment that you couldn't explain. Could be anything from like a dream that came true, seeing something move, actually seeing a ghost, anything that freaked you out. What do you got?
This one stumped me, man.
Damn it.
But I left my house today, and for the life of me, when I came back, the door was open and the light was on in the hallway. And I could vividly remember locking the freaking door. So I'm like, you know, I live in a basement apartment. I have a landlord. So I thought maybe she came home for a quick minute, went downstairs, forgot to close the door. So I asked her, did you come by the house? She said, no. So I'm thinking maybe it was one of the workers because, you know, they're doing. She said, no, nobody. So now she looked through the camera and she said, nobody, because I told her the time I left to go to the supermarket and the time I came back, she said, nobody. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I really did that. I really just, how the fuck do you just walk out of your house and not close, lock the door? Like, behind
so,
you. Like,
so she could see in the camera though, that when you left, you didn't shut it behind you?
No. She just saw that nobody else came in. Oh. Like the camera faces down. You see me leaving, but nobody came in that other hour. So I'm like, and I didn't smoke until like I got in my car. It's not like I smoked in my house and I left stone. Mm-hmm. No, I waited. See, that's the thing. I never trust anything I do when I'm not stoned.
When you're not stoned.
Because I'm too careless. When I'm stoned, I check everything. Double, triple check. I got my keys. I got my wallet. I got my phone. I know exactly what it is. When I'm freaking like so straight, I'm so callous. I just walk out. Like, I'm so confident.
Yeah, exactly. You have, I'm not under the influence confidence. Because here's the thing, right? So later on, when like your chick finds out, oh, I left the fucking, the door to our home wide open. And she'll be like, fucking stoned. You'd be like, no, just an idiot. But like, if you're stoned, she'll be like, I told you, you shouldn't be fucking smoking so much pot. Leave the fucking door open, you know? They're going to be right. That's why you don't want to be fucking stoned and fuck anything up, because then everyone else is right. I see what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
That's why whenever something's important, I'm like, you know what? I should probably smoke before
Absolutely.
This yep. way I do it right.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise the confident me takes over and fucks it all up.
Okay, so never in your life have you had anything that you believed to be a ghost?
No, I don't think so.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, why not?
Maybe.
I've been lucky. I guess I've been lucky. You know, we had a thing outside the house here. We have raccoons. And they had some fight out there. That scared the shit out of me. I mean, you're talking about like, no, I'm talking about like, yo, this was, these are raccoons from the Bronx. They don't play. You know what I'm saying? Like they were up on the, we got like a separating thing that from one house to the other, they were on top of there fighting. I recorded it. Now, mind you, for me to record, the fight's got to be going on a long time because I'm not the guy who reaches for his phone. Like this fight was going on for a minute and I got my phone out, finally thought about it, recording it, and I got a minute of coverage.
Wow.
Yeah. And you see their eyes, because in the dark, their eyes shine. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you the video if you guys want to post it as part of the show.
Yeah, we'll do that.
It's the scariest freaking thing. Like they're like screaming too, like they make this noise.
Yeah, they make weird fucking noises, raccoons.
Yeah. I was
they're little creepy fucks, man. They sneak into your garbage at night. They got little hands.
Yeah, they don't really bother you though.
Not me. I mean, I fucking saw
a raccoon.
I don't
think they bother humans.
Like, I don't know. I saw when I was 7. It was out in the day at a dumpster, and I ran home crying because I was like, "It's got rabies. I'm gonna die."
The worst.
Oh God.
No,
I was gonna say their little hands, like in a video on like Instagram or a picture, their hands are adorable. But encountering them in real life, their hands freak me out.
I think they're adorable all the time.
There's a bunch of them that live, and you rarely ever see them, man. I don't know where the. I have a cat that I feed here now, that's a whole other life out there, you know. Yeah, because she had kittens. And then one night there was a thing outside. I guess somebody came too close to protecting where she was hiding the kittens. And I heard that scream. That was another thing that scared me. I got out there, and for her, you know, like I'll do anything. So I went out there, get out of here. Leave her alone.
I never heard the sounds of it. But I mentioned on the show before that I have the side entrance of the house, and I left in the morning. It was like raining out,
And I left, and like 3 feet from my door were like the insides of some kind of animal. Like something terrible happened feet from my door where there were like feathers and like body parts, but like I couldn't identify what they were. It was like organs, like something got into a fight and then ate the rest of it. And I have no idea. And I know they have chickens next door to me here. So I don't know if something got a chicken. I have no idea. And I don't know what animal is eating a chicken.
This chicken got something else.
Well, cats are predatory. So
a chicken's big though, right?
Yeah, if you would have seen that a shit cat ton you're of holding feathers, right now. Like.
Yeah, there's a little guy.
What's it?
Little guy.
Hi, little guy. You know, my cat's name is Psst. I didn't know because I started feeding it. You know what happens is you open up your door one day, you look outside, there's a cat sitting out there. Mm-hmm. Like if you live in a basement apartment, I open up my. So now you know I now have a cat. So I've been feeding this cat for months now, and like I said, she had the kittens in the meantime, so I had to up my game. No, because I knew she's so small. She's a tabby, but she's like underweight. Mm. And then so even when I went on the road, I bought a feeder so I could feed, make sure she's feeding, because she had the kittens, mm-hmm. and I had like 2 weeks where I was on the road, so I bought a feeder. So mm-hmm. the food would come out. And wouldn't you know it? She never introduced me to the kittens.
Aww. Maybe when they get older.
No, it's been. No, I asked the guy next door. He goes, no, they're big now. Because apparently the guy next door gets to see the little kittens all day.
Uh-oh.
But me, the guy who was feeding her during the whole time. And you
chasing
know what it
raccoons
is?
I'm away. Her
I think I'm her primary source. For like, so she'll teach the kids enough. But she's because they now she's able to have another litter. She mm-hmm. lays out there and she's like, ah, and I'm like, shut up. You know what they're saying, right? They're like, come fuck me. To the whole neighborhood, she's yelling out, come fuck me. I'm like, shut up. Because like you just had a litter. You're on the way to begin with. I worry something's going to happen to her.
So sweet. Okay. It's so funny. Psst, shut up.
I was pissed at Psst.
Okay. All right. Before we wrap up, last question. And I didn't prepare you for this one. This one I kind of spring on guests at the end. What do you think happens when we die?
Well, I talked to somebody about this the other day. I think you should be buried in the earth. So this way the worms could get at you. And all the other bugs, and you could continue the cycle of life. And I think our souls, I just have a feeling like your soul goes into another life form. Because, I always tell people I've led a charmed existence. Like, if you look at the women that I've had an opportunity to have in my life, it's like a Miss Universe contest. So I'm thinking to my, there's no, and the plus I'm 6'4", you know, I live
great head of hair.
Yeah. I live in New York, like everything that could possibly go right. Not that I did much with it, but I'm just saying, I always think to myself, maybe in a past, like I was Schindler. I start to think in the past life, like I saved like 6 million Jews in the past life for the life that I live right now. You know what That's I'm saying? Fair. Like, I must have done something really good. So I think, yeah, you keep getting better.
Okay. So you believe in reincarnation, or you have a feeling about that?
Somehow your soul. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
You think it gets better? See, because I think it goes the other way. That's what I think. I think there's reincarnation, right? It would only make sense to start you out really easy and then reincarnate you eventually into like China or North Korea. You know, so that you got to endure the hardest parts of this world before you can move on to the next one.
See,
I'm like, I want to stay here.
I think each time is just like it's different in a way for you to have like a different set of struggles to like complete some like master set of skills or something. So it's like
handle
just
these struggles.
but it would be
I can't reach stuff. You know what that's like?
Yes,
all
I
the
do.
Time.
Yes, I'm shorter than you. I can't reach anything. But yeah, I feel like, because also, how you view your problems though, it's relative, you know, cause like when you may complain about not being able to reach something, maybe the same level of frustration that somebody has because they can't have dinner cause they're poor
Well, that's a real struggle, I guess, if you're going to make it real.
No, no, no. But it's real. It's, you know, it feels real to you because you are going through it. So I think
even our struggles, like being short, it's like when a woman stands on her tippy toes to reach something, it's cute. When I do it, it's pathetic. It's the saddest feeling. And it's awful.
You know, it's
I should be on a fucking one of those circus balls.
How tall are you? How tall are you?
5'3".
You know, it's so funny. I do this whole, I have this bit now in my act about how I have a short face.
Uh-huh.
Like nobody really ever understands. Like they always say to me when they first meet me, like they always like, oh, I didn't think you would be that tall. And after you hear that 1,000 times, you realize they're judging me off my face. I have a face that, not that I'm unhappy with it, but it would probably be more appropriate on somebody who was like 5'10".
Yep.
And then I go into this whole thing, like my whole life would be better a little bit if I was a little shorter. Like I have a compact car, I live in a basement apartment, you know. So somewhere out there, there's a little guy who identifies as a really tall guy. And I'm your polar opposite. I'm a really tall guy that identifies as a slightly shorter guy.
By the way, I like that you referred to your short face as somebody who's 5'10".
Yeah, I heard it the first time, Shannon. It hurt my feelings back then.
It makes me sad that we're doing this episode via Zoom so that we don't have the chance to take a group picture at the end to see the difference of height between Maddie and I and you.
Yeah. We have to sit on each other's shoulders to make it comparable.
You know, it's like with the picture with Monroe Martin from a couple of weeks ago, and everyone's like, it looks like he's with his two children.
He barely fits in that studio,
six,
man.
Six.
Some like 6'5", 6'6". Yeah,
yeah, he's a little taller than me.
Big motherfucker. Yeah.
But some people have tall faces, by the way. And we've all encountered those. You're sitting down talking to somebody, then you both stand up. You're like, anyway, so, I thought you were going to be taller based on your face.
That's true. Now that you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It happens to me all the time, man.
All right. On that note, we are going to wrap up. We'll do a quick round of plugs and we'll get out of here. We'll start with you, Mark. What would you like to plug?
The banner that's behind me is my album. You can't see the top of it, but it's called The Bangers. And it's available anywhere that you can stream. So iTunes, Spotify, you name it. If you have Sirius in your car, there's no getting away from me. But if you could pick up the album, I definitely appreciate it.
Awesome. Maddie, what do you got to plug?
By the way, everyone on that poster is like at a height I would gladly trade with.
It's all me if you look at it.
I noticed that. But you got like a 5'6" version. I'm like, I'd take that. You know?
Somebody took all my different hairstyles and put them in one poster.
Those are real fucking hairstyles.
Yeah, those are all me and my different phases, my hairstyle, my beard with short hair, whatever.
Yikes. I guess most of the stuff you could find me at Jester Skulls Twitch. I'm going to start getting going for real.
Yeah, Twitch
for real.
Is big. Yeah, you got to do it, man. It's
if you want to watch like a 35-year-old man yell like cuss words, like call children cunts and you know, bite his tongue when he wants to drop the real bad words, you know, watch a man unravel. twitch.tv/JesterSkulls.
You should do leading up to your wedding on Twitch.
What do you mean like thing.
You need a little hook for Twitch. So you're going to get married. Yeah. So everything that it entails, just record you and her going every single spot and all the little things that it comes up with.
I don't know how to do that part of Twitch yet. I didn't even realize that was a thing. I keep hearing people talk about like doing like unboxing videos on Twitch. Like that was for video games.
Yeah. I said, that's when people send you gifts. That's a whole other thing.
I would hate to watch other people open gifts they're going to enjoy.
My nieces and my nephew, like little kids, love those on YouTube.
Yeah, they, I'll
be like, I hear like an adult's voice and something that they're watching it, and I look at what they're watching, and it's just like a grown woman opening like a child's toy and like a sweet little voice. And she's like, and this is whatever her little name is. And here's her dress. And it's like, why are you watching this? It's crazy. Wow.
You know what? It's like being at a baby shower.
Yeah.
Having the torture of having to sit there. I'm going to write that down, by the way. I'm keeping that one. Unboxing. It's like being at a freaking baby shower.
It's true. Okay. You can follow me.
That's the birth also.
That's still the unboxing. Thank you.
Yep.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's absolutely for free. But the best way to support the show is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code TTI. You'll get a 1 week free trial, which gives you access to every single show on the network, every single episode we've ever done, live chat episodes sooner, all that stuff, all for free for 1 week. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate, review, and of course, tell a friend.
Tell two friends.
If you have stories to submit for, hold on, I gotta find it so you don't do it.
Okay, this,
I got it. I got it right in front of me, right on my finger. If you have a story to submit for bad dates, bad things, or scary things, send it to the thing is podcast at gmail.com. Wow, she just messed up your whole lighting, Maddie.
I'm gonna hit her.
And of course, for the month of October, we are playing fan voicemails of their scary things stories. So if you've had a story that's unexplainable that freaked you out in the moment, you can send it to us via voicemail. Try to keep it to 3 minutes. And the number is 732-997-7600. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Mark, so much for coming back on the show. We'll be back next week. Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.